And you're the only person in this parking lot, so you have plenty of room. Then this clown just starts full on sprinting directly at your car, right?
No,
and
wait,
so,
he honks his nose. He needs to honk
his
nose
first.
First.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Time Bat Show. I am Bat Snacks.
I'm Time Aces. Hello and welcome to the show. Episode number 8, I think.
8.
Is that? I think that's right. Actually, I think I got it right.
I think we got it right this week.
I got it right this week. You always.
No, you
it
got
right,
it. Yeah. You get all the credit for that.
So, yeah, this has been an interesting week for me, I guess. Well, not really for me, but I'm not feeling too hot this week. Getting a little sick, I feel like.
Oh, that's a shame. It's been a pretty good week for me. It's been eventful. Lots
of
stuff going on.
Yeah? What's happening over there in the old Florida?
Well, recently I went to a random thing that a person I know was hosting.
That can not be more vague. A random
yes,
thing
no, but
here, all right,
here's what we were doing.
You know.
So I got invited to an IT party.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much what happens at this IT party is they were installing Linux Mint on a weird laptop. That's an IT party.
That's their idea of a party.
Yeah, it was a really good party. And I have a couple things to interesting things to say about Linux Mint that I learned at this party that I didn't know yet.
Well, first of all, did it work? Like, did they get it?
It did, and that's the really cool thing about this party. Mm-hmm. See, this laptop was about 4 years old. It's got a Core Duo processor and only 2 gigs of RAM, so it's
seen better
probably
days.
Like a $50 to $100 laptop. Yeah. And Linux Mint, for anybody that doesn't know, is a free operating system that you can download and burn a CD of for free and install on really old hardware, and it's actually really good.
You sound like you are doing an advertisement for Linux Mint right now.
Well, I mean...
You kind of are, right?
Kind of.
Yeah. But it's free.
It was exciting, though. So here's the cool thing. Mm-hmm. All of the drivers were already on the CD, and you didn't have to do any command line stuff to install any of them.
Really?
So pretty much what happened was the mouse, the keyboard, the monitor, the hard drive, everything was set up during the wizard, like, you just automatically... And it worked immediately, which was really surprising because I'm not used to Linux
working at all.
Working, especially on like a 4-year-old computer.
Well,
and it's interesting because the person that was installing Mint on this laptop had tried to install Windows 10 on the laptop,
and it didn't work.
And none of the drivers were supported
because it's too old or whatever.
Yeah,
that is interesting. I don't use
it was
Linux.
Pretty cool.
Because I, you know, it's a pain in the ass to install.
But if you actually want to do anything on a computer, it's
right,
to
exactly,
use Windows.
Exactly. I have to ask, how did you get invited to an IT party, quote unquote?
Someone I know was giving a presentation for like some kind of Linux club that he's in.
Okay.
And it was at this data center.
Yes. Okay.
And pretty much it was just a bunch of people that do IT hanging out in a data center lobby, and he installed Linux Mint in front of all of us, and we were all shocked and amazed at how easy it was.
Okay.
Because the drivers were all there on the CD.
And everyone gasped.
All open source.
Did everyone clap afterwards too?
Oh, and this laptop had a biometric scanner on it that even installed correctly.
The driver for that? Really?
Yes, Linux Mint.
Wow.
So Linux, I guess, has come a pretty long way.
Apparently, although no one uses it still. Well, people that are, you know, hardcore into computers do, but...
Yeah.
You know. Interesting. I don't know. Everyone has their, like, friend that's into Linux a lot.
Yeah.
I have, like, a friend in college that, like, was obsessed with Linux, even though it, like... You know, he had a Windows laptop, but he had his, like, other laptop that, like, was older that he would, like, be obsessed with trying new Linux distributions on or whatever.
Yeah.
And it never worked properly, but he always like did it and he would tell me like, oh, this one's so good. It's like twice
you
as
can
fast.
Use a web browser.
And you're
on
like,
it.
That's great. I can do that right now on my regular computer. Thank you. But I don't know. It's always been like a confusing thing. But I think it's just like, you know, people who like to tinker with that kind of stuff, it's an enjoyable, you know, thing. You know what I mean?
And they are, I mean, they are using Linux for a lot of different stuff.
Like a lot of
modern technology too. Like the new Steam OS is Linux based. Right. I mean, I don't know if that will ever be relevant, but
I hear some people. I mean, I know some people that have it, but not like on their main computer. They have like a smaller, you know,
right.
computer that they have that installed on it. Yeah, a lot of servers use Linux. You know, backend stuff uses Linux, but just like as an operating system. For like day to day life, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's just me. That's just me. You know? If you want to use Linux, jump
if you just need
hoops.
Like a web browser and maybe a word processor or something, though, I think it can work really good.
Yeah,
and be really inexpensive.
Absolutely. I have a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, that's another good way to use it.
You know, that's Linux. And it's.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely cannot put Windows on that.
No, I, you know, it's not like I'm using it every day, but it's got a web browser. It can emulate games, you know, the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I need it for. So, I shouldn't say I emulate games. I emulate games only that I already own.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. Just wanted to get that out of the way. Just put that, that small...
Well, what else would you do with it?
I don't know. I don't think there's a use other than that, really.
Yeah.
Because you mean you have to own them first. That's the law.
Yeah, it's the rules.
them's the rules. Them's the rules. So let's. Do you want to talk about like the big news of today right now, or do you want to like talk about like something silly first? Because there's some big news that came out today that I don't know if you. I think you're aware of it, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
But then there's also like some silly shit that's happening in the world that it's fun to talk about too. I don't know.
Let's build up to the big news. What else is is happening in the world?
I don't know if you've been hearing about all these damn clowns all over the United States that are scaring people half to death. Have you heard about this?
Is that a real thing that's happening? I've seen it.
It's a real thing that's happening right now.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. It's happening in multiple states. I think it's mostly on, like, the East Coast and, like, the, like, you know, South to Midwest kind of stuff. Like, it's not really... It's happened in the Eastern Corridor, mostly. But it's weird because people are dressing up as clowns and they are going out in the middle of the night. And it's usually in, like, a small town or, like, a, you know, mid-size kind of town. And they're scaring people to death. And people are, you know, they're kind of freaking out. Because, like, when you see a scary clown at night, like, I would probably know in the back of my mind, like, okay, this is probably a prank. But at the same time, I'm like, or he could murder me.
I mean, seeing a clown anywhere that they're not supposed to be... would be really scary.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. I remember seeing a story where there were two clowns in like, I don't remember where it is. It was like Alabama or something. And they like tried to scare people and then they were found like dead the next day. Like
that
the
is
clowns
terrible.
Were murdered.
It's like the curse of the clown.
But like if you think about it, like why are clowns going around trying to scare people in like I don't know.
I've been reading about this for a few months. This isn't just an October thing. This has been happening.
No, I know. It's been building.
In the news.
I feel like it's been building up because of October. So anyway, Mississippi, there's a county in Mississippi that had it happen to a bunch of times. So they just flat out banned wearing clown costumes.
You can't ban wearing clown.
Well, they did. They were like, you can't wear clown costumes at least until after Halloween, which I don't know. A lot of people are going to be pissed. They're not going to be able to wear their costume.
I wouldn't be that pissed.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, clowns are terrible. They're not good. They're
it's just a really weird thing that's going on. Like, what's our society come to when we're all running around as clowns? I don't get it.
Who decided clowns, too? That's not even a cool costume.
I mean, it was probably someone on the internet, right? some like kid was like, it'd be really cool if I got a bunch of my friends to dress up as scary clowns. And then it went viral, as they say, as the kids say.
Yeah.
And you know, it went viral. We've gone viral.
Sorry. With the clown costumes.
With the clown costumes. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where the hell it came from, but I keep reading about stories, you know, day after day, and I don't know. I feel like Halloween we're gonna see some crazy clown like
clown apocalypse.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Clown apocalypse. They're gonna all come out with like bats with like barbed wire on the end. And they're gonna like be in the streets of our cities.
They're gonna get us all.
It's gonna be like a movie.
The first time I read about this story, I just kind of assumed it was
an isolated thing.
News. Yeah, it was like or just news places making stuff up because they had nothing else to cover.
Oh, I think it did originate that way. I bet it did, and then people read
about
it.
Maybe that's what triggered.
Oh, so like the media did this to themselves, kind of thing.
Yeah, like maybe this wasn't actually a thing, but someone read about it in the news, and it was a fake story just because
they
had
nothing else to report.
Yeah,
about.
Some guy who's required to write like 5 pages a day and get paid like $0.05
and he's
a page.
Oh, this is so dumb.
I have nothing to write about, and he writes about clowns or terrorizing
and then, like,
the town.
People saw it, and people were like, "I want to be." And then copycats, basically, are like, "I want to be a town that terrorizes the town."
And suddenly, we're here in this clown epidemic. Approaching the clown apocalypse in October.
Would you call it an epidemic then?
Or? I mean, no. That might feel. See, this is how it starts. You call it something that it's not in people.
We're all gonna die. Apparently, the New York Times has written like a really long article on the clown thing.
It's terrible.
So like that's how you know it's like legit when the New
York
Times.
It's just gonna make it worse.
Has decided to cover your story, then. This is a real thing. This is a real phenomenon. And this was 5 days ago. So there you go. So clowns. So everyone that's listening at home, be on the lookout for clowns. I don't know.
If you see a clown.
Yeah, just run away. Just
run. If there's a clown.
Maybe not run, but you can walk. Walk briskly away.
Yeah, don't make eye contact.
I mean, how do you know if you're making eye contact with a clown, though? They're wearing all that makeup. It's hard to.
That's true.
You know? If they honk their nose at you, that's the sign to run.
That's
their tell.
That's their sign that they're becoming aggressive and they're aggroing on you.
They're basically letting you know that they've chosen you as a sacrifice to the clown gods or whatever. And they're about to like full sprint at you. That would be terrifying. Like if a clown
that would be horrible.
Sprinted at you, like head first, like head down, you know.
Just running as fast as he can.
As fast as he can. Okay, imagine this. Let me paint a picture for you, okay? You're in a dark parking lot. It's a little wet on the ground. You know, you're sitting
there. You're just like walking your dog or something.
No, you're in your car. Let's say you're in your car.
Okay, you're in your car.
You're in a dark parking lot, 11:30 p.m. It just rained. It just got done raining. You were out late for some reason. Maybe you had to pick up something. Anyway, you pulled over on the side of the road because you had a text and you wanted to read it, or you got an email or something. Now you're about to put your car, you know, you turn your car back on, head home, and all of a sudden you see a clown right in front of your car. Well, let's say 15 feet away. So you like
he needs some space to run.
So you like turn your car on and you turn your lights on, and that just only illuminates the creepiness of this clown.
Yes.
You don't want to run him over, so you throw the thing in reverse, right? And you start backing up. And you're the only person in this parking lot, so you have plenty of room. Then this clown just starts full on sprinting directly at your car, right?
No,
and
wait,
so,
he honks his nose. He needs
oh,
to
he
honk
honks
his nose,
nose
first.
First, yeah. And then he just like full on sprinters runs like right to your car. So you're thinking, all right, I gotta get the hell out of the way. So you like. You, as you're backing up, you're still in reverse. You try to like swing your car like around in another direction, but he sticks to you like glue. Like he's there the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And so like you do one of those like movie like backup things where you like back up real fast and then swing your tail around.
Front around,
like the bullet
get going
maneuver,
forward.
You know?
Yeah,
and then you like shift into drive and you slam on the gas, right? And then the
but clown, at this point, he's on your car.
But he's at this point, he's like right behind you, like, and you see him in the rearview mirror, and he like leaps onto your car, onto the trunk. And he has these like really long fingernails that like embed into your trunk. And so now he's like, he's holding on, and you're like, you're driving down like a rural like dirt road at this point somehow, and you're like driving, you're like swerving left and right to try to get him off. But he's like climbing up, you know.
Yeah.
One hand after another.
Yeah, this is like the Terminator, pretty much.
Yeah, basically just exactly like Terminator 2 when he's on the car or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he like gets to like the hood of the car, and he uses his nails, and you can see them like coming through the roof, and he like rips it open, and then he like you look up and you see his evil smile, and he like his hand comes down at your throat, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, oh, that was a dream. That's intense.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be frightening?
And then you call the New York Times.
And then you call the New York Times, and they write a story about it. And you're like, oh, that really happened, though. That wasn't a dream. And they're like, oh, no, scary clown epidemic. Sorry, I just talked 5 minutes about a scary...
No, it's okay. It was a good scene, and that was a good movie. Clown. That was a good movie scene, too.
That would be frightening, Terminator though, that thing would happen. You know?
It would be even scarier if it was a clown than a Terminator.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm scared myself a little bit.
Yeah, it's okay. There was some big news this week, though.
Oh yeah, we can talk about actual real news and not fake clown news. What was it? Do you know anything about this?
Nintendo announced their new console.
They did. It was today. It was this morning. I got.
Yeah,
up.
It was at 7 a.m.
It was at 9 a.m. here. But yes, it was early. I got up specifically for it too. That's how much of a nerd I am. Like, I heard that they were doing it at, like, 9 o'clock, so I set my alarm. And I was like, I'm going to be awake. Even though it's, like, a video, I didn't care.
Yeah, it was only, like, a two-minute teaser.
It was, like, 2 minutes, but I, like, set my alarm to see it. Yeah, it's called the Switch.
Switch.
Pretty cool name, I think.
That's a cool enough name.
It's fun to say, don't you think? Switch.
Yeah.
I think it's because it has, like, that cool,
it's
like
Switch. Latch.
The ch at the end. Like, has that hard like ch sound at the end, but I don't know. It's did you watch the teaser thingy or whatever, the announcement?
Yes, video? Yes, I did.
So, what are your thoughts, your impressions?
I think it looks really cool. So it's like a tablet that you stick in a box, right?
Basically, yes.
And the tablet, or no wait, there's a controller too, and you can break the controller in half and attach it to the tablet and like make a portable device.
Yeah.
Or
basically,
you can fuse the two halves of the controller together and make a single controller.
Yep.
Or you can break the controller in half and give half to your friend and there's two controllers.
There's a lot of things you can do with it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's bridging like all the gaps basically that are left in either, you know, consoles where like, is this a home console? Is this a portable console? Is this
does
whatever?
It have touch screen?
Yeah,
does
exactly.
It have it's an like, accelerometer for movement feedback? Yeah.
I don't know if it has an accelerometer. I would guess that it does.
I think it does.
Because their last console had one built into their controller, and like PlayStation 4, even though they don't use it that much, they have one in their controller.
I would expect there
so
to be
one. I would
one
expect
in there
to be one.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the individual pieces that you break off, but probably in like the base, like the thing you plug the pieces in. I would expect that to be.
Even the pieces that you break off, I wouldn't be that surprised because they're pretty small.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting concept. I like it. And
they announced some games that'll be available close to launch too.
Yeah, they announced some games that, like, basically are just games that we've already seen, just kind of in a different version.
Still, though, like, one of them was Skyrim, and that's a Bethesda game. I don't think there's ever been a Bethesda game on a Nintendo console.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think there has. So now you could maybe potentially play Fallout 3 on a portable device like the NX?
If they port it, I would say maybe. That would be really cool.
I think that would be really cool.
I would be very excited for that.
I would be extremely excited.
I wonder if they've ever... I don't know if they've ever made for a Nintendo console before, because Elder Scrolls was PC for a while until the Xbox came out, and then they put it on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then only when the PS3 came out did they do... they did... What did they put on PS3? Skyrim was for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fallout was PC and before it made the transition to consoles. And right. It never came out on Nintendo stuff. So I don't think Bethesda's ever made a, you know, game on Nintendo console, which is kind of neat. That's cool.
Yeah, there was also From Software was another one of the
third-party
companies.
That's
so
freaking
maybe
exciting.
Potentially a new Armored Core game.
I like how that's where your head goes to first.
That's
else
the
in
first
the
thing I'm thinking.
Everyone else in the universe is like Dark Souls,
yeah,
Dark Souls. But you're like, Armored Core!
I want an Armored Core game.
They're going to make Armored Core. I always forget that, like... Well, I
that's
don't forget.
Such a good series.
No, I know. I always forget that, like, you know, people that are really in love with Dark Souls, like, know From Software for Dark Souls. And they don't really know them for Armored Core. They might know that they, like, oh, yeah, they did Armored Core. But, like, I always forget that you were, like, a really big Armored Core friend.
Yeah, that was
back
one of my
the,
favorite
like,
games
the PS2
back in the day.
Days or whatever. And so it's just funny that, like, that's, like, the first thing that pops into
that
your
is,
head.
That is the... When I saw From Software...
You were like, Armored Core!
Third party, I was like, yeah, hell yeah! I'm gonna get a new Armored Core game.
Where everyone else in the universe is like, oh, Dark Souls 3, probably, or something coming to it.
Yeah.
I keep saying NX. Switch.
No, it's
coming
the Switch.
To the Switch. It's going to be hard to get that right because I've been saying NX for so long.
You could probably just call it the NX forever and it would be fine.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I'm pretty sure NX was like trending on Twitter more than Nintendo Switch
was.
It
might have been.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, I like the idea a lot.
So do I.
I like the fact that you can play, you know, on your TV, and then you can just make it a portable when you want to. And I don't do that much portable gaming, but what I'll do is, like, because I have a Wii U, and, you know, they have, like, the tablet controller kind of deal already, but it's, like, it's, you know, you can only be within so many feet of, like, the main unit. But what I'll do is I'll, like, play it just on the tablet, and then the TV will have, like, you know, a television show on, or... You know, my wife will watch something else or whatever, you know what I mean? So, like, it saves the TV from being utilized, which is nice. So, like, with this, I can imagine, like, oh, I'm playing on the big TV. It's like, and then someone's like, oh, I want to watch TV. Or, like, maybe I want to go in my bedroom and lay on my bed while I play a video game or whatever. Like, I can see myself using that.
Yeah, I think it'll be really big with families.
Yeah, because it's an easy...
The adults want to watch TV, go play your game somewhere.
And you can literally just take it wherever you want without any, like... You don't have to take any cords or anything, because the controllers are attached to the unit already, you know?
And if you're, like, riding in the car, and maybe the person... I mean, the way it is now, you both need to have a Nintendo DS to play together.
You can just
break off half the controller and give it to your friend and say, hey, what's...
That is probably the most exciting thing.
That is so cool.
For me, in general, because... Portable multiplayer gaming has always had this, like, huge barrier to entry, right?
Yeah.
Like, you both have to have the stupid device, you both usually have to have the game, and then you both have to be, like, right next to each other, and, like, it's so hard to, like...
And you both need to have the same versions of everything.
Exactly, and it's like, okay, so we both have to spend, like, $300 to play this portable game together? That's stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with this, it's just one person has to own the thing, and they only have to own one copy of the game, and then you can just bring it to, like, the park or whatever, or wherever you want to go, and then, boom, you're both playing this portable game at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how cool is that? You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
That's incredibly awesome. Because there's not really been any... There's very few multiplayer portable games. And the ones that do exist are always, like, ones that, like... You know, Nintendo's made them with, like, they made, like, you know, Four Swords Adventure. You remember that, like, Zelda?
The GameCube.
Like, they all, like, worked, but they were all, like, you had to be a really dedicated fan to, like, play those. Because every one of your friends had to have, like, the device and the game. Whereas this is, like...
Didn't you need to have, like, the Game Boy what was it?
You had to have like color? You had to have the advance. So they always, there's always this like barrier to like, okay, I have to like set all this stuff up first. This is, you know, really dumb. But with this, it's just like, oh, I own this game. You know, I'm going to take it to, you know, someone's house or go somewhere. And then a friend will be like, oh, what's that? And I'll be like, well, let's play right now. Boom. You know, like, I don't know. That's just an incredible, incredible thing.
I saw one of the other third parties that I know Nintendo like pretty much already works with, but Capcom, and I was thinking like fighting games on that.
Yeah, on the go.
Super fun.
Yeah, on the go.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we got like Street Fighter or you know, Marvel versus Capcom or Night Stalker, whatever.
Play on a plane.
Yeah, exactly. Like with a buddy, with like the random guy you're sitting next to.
Yeah, be like, hey, you want to play some Marvel versus Capcom with me? Or like, he'd be like, no, leave me alone. Like, you're weird.
Play Street
go away.
Fighter? And he's like, no, I haven't played that game in years. And he's like, and you're like, ha ha ha, I'll beat him really good. And then he chooses like, I don't know, Ken or he'll choose like Sagat or something, right?
Yeah.
And then he'd like kick your ass, and he'd be like, what? Yeah. How did you know how to play? And he's like,
you have to use down forward super next to the backwards. I don't know the Street Fighter terms.
Oh, you need to save your super gauge a little more and use a reverse air cancel dodge to cancel into the
fireball dash.
The fire.
Sure, you can
fireball dash. Buffer your input more.
Yeah.
Noob or whatever. I could do a whole episode on fake Street Fighter fighting game terminology.
Yeah, we'd probably make everybody really mad.
Buffer your hitbox into that flash canceled up dash.
Turbo
boosted.
Yeah.
Canceled counter power drive.
Anyway, I guess we're both pretty excited about this console.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
This will be a console that I buy. I haven't bought a console in a while.
Which is weird for you, because not only do you not buy consoles very much anymore, because you're mostly PC, you haven't bought a Nintendo console in a long time.
Not since GameCube.
Yeah, see? I always buy Nintendo consoles because I love Nintendo games. But it is big for you to say that, I think.
Yeah.
Because that shows that it's a big deal, you know?
I feel like it's not as gimmicky, maybe, is the Wii and the Wii U.
It's not as gimmicky. I mean, its main gimmick is like a gimmick that's actually like, okay, I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a gimmick that's like, oh, like where the Wii is like, it's cool.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't want to say that the Wii and the Wii U are bad.
No, but like, if you don't care about motion controls, then you're not going to get anything out of it. You know what I mean? And with the Wii U, like, if you don't really care about the second screen, you're not going to really get anything out of it. But like with the what the hell is it
the
called
NX.
The Switch, with the Switch, it's like a regular console, and then optionally it's a portable whatever the hell you want it to be. So I don't know, it just works better, I think, for people.
You could probably watch Netflix on it.
Oh, you definitely will be able to. Yeah. So I'm excited. And then the other games they had were like, you know, first party Nintendo games, like Splatoon is coming to it.
Which Mario Party, obviously.
Fantastic game.
Mario Kart, rather.
Mario Kart, yeah. So
Mario Party would be fun as heck.
I'm sure they'll make Mario Party. So Splatoon and Mario Kart they looked very similar to the Wii U versions, but I would assume they're going to get like an upgraded port, you know?
Yeah.
To the Switch. But Splatoon is an amazing game if you haven't played it. It is
it's fun.
I love that game so much.
Yeah, it's a really fun game.
It's a really brilliant game. Mario Kart 8 is also really good. And I saw an interesting rumor about Mario Kart 8. The footage they showed of Mario Kart 8, and you know, it's just Mario Kart, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows Mario Kart is. But the footage they showed of Mario Kart 8 in the trailer looked very similar to the one for the Wii U, except the characters could hold two items instead of one. Ooh.
So that's a mechanic that is not in an existing game.
Well, that is in one existing game, and
Double
that
Dash.
Game is Double Dash.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be the perfect console for Double Dash.
Right? I would be so
Isn't
excited.
King Boo a character in Double Dash,
yes,
too?
Yes, he is a character, and he is not in the Wii U Mario Kart either. But he was in the trailer for the new one.
We might be moving into conspiracy territory.
No,
here,
I don't
though.
Think it looks identical to it looks pretty similar to Mario Kart 8, but it has those two things that aren't in it. I don't know. I would be so
I wasn't
excited.
Looking that closely, but I believe you. I believe you.
I would
you.
Be so excited if Double Dash like came back.
That would be the greatest ever. That Double was the best Dash Mario Kart game like, by far. Yeah.
Double Dash is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
It's just so
freaking asymmetric party racing
game. I know. How good is that game? It's so good.
And you can play it one player, but you have to multitask, right. It's hard and
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. And fun, yeah. How cool would it be to like take that around and someone that's never played Double Dash Mario Kart before, but yeah. Like it's portable, so you'd be like, here, have this. And
just ride
be,
in the back, throw
my
items.
Be my wingman,
yeah.
You know? And like, hell, what a mind-blowing, I don't know, that would be such a cool experience.
Yeah,
I would love that. Anyway, so maybe it's not, but the signs point to possibly question mark.
It would be a really good idea. And Nintendo would probably think of that. And I would, it'd be a smart decision.
I would play the shit out of that. Yeah. That'd be very exciting. But anyway, NX or Switch, whatever, super exciting.
Switch.
Mm-hmm. Also has probably a Mario coming out for it. Oh, well, they showed some footage, so.
Yeah.
It's going to have all the regular Nintendo stuff.
So, are we ready for some questions for this week?
I think so. I don't have anything else about scary clowns. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I think we should transition. We can transition to some questions. Do you have any stuff?
I have a good one we can start with.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
This kind of goes in line with your story from last week, if anyone wants to check that out.
What was my story from last week?
You managed to almost lose a finger while making garlic bread.
Should I give you an update on my finger?
Is it doing okay?
It is doing a lot better.
That's good.
But it's still not healed yet. Yes. For a while there, I thought I was dying because it like wasn't changing for like a whole week.
That's what happens when you cut yourself with a serrated knife. Yeah. It doesn't heal.
I think I lost some feeling like I think it's not gonna be the same. You know, you know what I mean? Like
never again.
It's yeah. Which is funny because my other finger on the same, it's on my left hand. It's my left middle finger. Mm-hmm. On my left hand, my pointer, my index finger is crooked because when I was a kid, I think I was like playing football or something and I caught it wrong and stoved it and it like was like dislocated and it never healed properly. So
nice.
I'm going to have two fingers next to each other that are messed up.
You'll be okay. You can still play video games.
Oh, yeah. It's just it'll be another extra story I can tell people. Like, check out these fingers.
Speaking of,
says what everyone.
What is the stupidest way you've injured yourself?
Oh, we can go right into the story. No, I don't think that was the stupidest way.
No, definitely not.
I think the garlic bread might, I don't know, it was pretty stupid.
You were trying to do something that you shouldn't have
was
been
meaningless. Like, yes. It had no bearing on my life.
Yes.
Like, looking back, it was like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't care about this stupid garlic bread that much. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So I have a couple pretty good ways.
Okay, what are your ways?
So when I was younger, I was trying to make diamonds by boiling charcoal. Yeah, that makes, trust
that
me,
works.
It made perfect sense.
It made sense
at the
when
time.
You were like 12 or whatever. Right?
So anyway, I got a baking bin, one of those aluminum ones,
uh-huh.
And I filled it with charcoal and covered it with water.
A bin? Is that like a...
It was like a bread thing you bake bread in.
Okay, so aluminum. It's like, it's a little deep. Like
it wasn't
depth.
A pot, yeah.
But it has some depth to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no safe way to pick it up without severely
right,
injuring yourself.
Except using,
gloves,
see where this
which,
going.
Yeah, why would you use gloves to pick that up? Anyway, I filled it with water and boiled it on the stove. Mm-hmm. And I thought that by moving it to the freezer quickly, it would make the diamonds form faster.
Ah.
That's just science.
That is science. That's new.
So I went to pick it up with my hand.
Yes.
And it exploded all over my hand.
Oh, I thought there was going to be like a like you're going to burn your hands.
No, I did.
Oh.
I tried to pick it up and it was instantly burning the crap out of my hand and then I dropped it all over my hand and my arm.
Okay.
And all over the kitchen there was charcoal and water and my hand was boiled in water. And so I got massive burns and no diamonds.
Wow. And no diamonds. That's
no diamonds.
That is kind of like the garlic bread story, but, you know, The cause was more justified.
I feel like I had good reasons. They just weren't right reasons.
Yeah, they weren't correct, but you wanted diamonds, which, I mean, that makes sense. How old were you when this happened?
I was pretty, like, maybe like 8.
Oh, you're pretty young.
Yeah, pretty young.
Well, I will excuse that. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, that was really stupid, though.
It kind of sounds right. Like, as an 8-year-old, I would believe that. Like,
yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah, if you told me, like, you could boil charcoal and then put it in the freezer, it'll become that. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I could see that. Where were your parents when all this is happening?
I was trying to probably do it secretly.
Oh, right. So it's like in the middle of the night or something.
It was a secret project.
You don't want to let your parents know you're making diamonds so you can keep all the diamonds to yourself.
They'll try to take them.
They will.
All the diamonds for myself.
That's true. But yeah, everybody knows that if you boil them and then you put them in the refrigerator the freezer real fast.
Yeah. The rapid temperature decrease causes the coal to...
causes diamondization.
Diamondization.
It's Newton's fourth law of physics. The law of quick heat diamondization.
Yes, Google everyone listening should try it at home. Yeah. Actually, don't, because you'll wind up like me.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it because we don't want you to get diamonds. We're going to save all the diamonds for ourselves.
That's really why we don't want you to do it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good story. I don't know what mine is, but I'm going to tentatively say the garlic bread story. So
yeah, that's it. That was a really good story.
If you want to go in depth, you can listen to the last episode, listeners at home. Okay, I have a question for you. This is
okay.
I feel like we're talking about video games too much, though. But it's a video game related question.
It's fine. Okay. It's a video game week.
This will be that episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm not going to even say the first part. What? Pick a video game that's your favorite video game, just on a whim. It doesn't have to be your absolute favorite, but just pick one you really like right now.
StarCraft Brood War.
I knew you were going to say StarCraft. That's fine. All right. Now change one letter in that title. Anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now say it. It has to make sense. It can't be like a
random. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way to modify that title.
You could remove a letter. So it could be like Tarcraft.
Or Star Raft. It's like a raft between the stars.
Okay,
and it's
a
brood war.
Now you have to explain. Now you have to explain what the video game is like and what it's
about. So it just kind of writes itself. It's you take a raft in between the stars to spread your brood.
Is it like Oregon Trail?
No. Yes, it's exactly like that. It's like somehow, how does the raft get, like, we need a propulsion system the stars.
It's ensconced in like a glass like thing too, right? The raft. Or is the raft just free-floating?
Maybe the raft is one of those self-inflating rafts.
So we're not even talking about, like, an actual, like, space raft. This is, like, a raft.
No, this is
a
raft. You ride down the rapids.
A raft you'd find at home.
Yes, that you forge the river within Oregon Trail. It's the same thing.
So you take this up into the into the galaxy, the heavens, if you will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to spread your brood, which
the final destination
the
is. Oh, they live in the raft.
Yes.
Okay, that's creepy, but all right.
It's fine.
Are they like
an alien race? You're playing as an alien race.
Okay, so let's say you're from like Alpha Centauri, right? And you have to get to Earth to like spread your brood to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So and all your young are like parasites. They're like small microorganisms at this point, and they're like inside the air that.
That's how you keep them alive inside the walls of the raft.
Yes. This is good. Yeah.
And
that's it.
That's the game.
That's it. One and
done. I don't know if I would play that game, but
I mean, you could have mechanics there, right? Like you have to dodge asteroids and sometimes your raft is like deflating so you have to like, you know, patch it up or whatever.
Have you ever played Earthworm Jim?
Yeah.
You know that mini game in between levels where you're riding in between the asteroids and you have to catch the chicken guy?
Yes.
It's like just that. Like that.
Yeah, okay, like that's exactly like that. It's that, but in like 3D, and it's called Star Raft.
Star Raft.
I like Star Raft. Why? Well, what about the war part? That doesn't really make that much sense.
It's war against humanity.
Maybe when you get to Earth. Oh, it's like a procedurally generated kind of deal. Like, have you played like Faster Than Light, like FTL?
Yeah.
Like when you get to the end, depending on how many of your brood you have left.
Like, okay. You get a score. Something
happens. You see the battle, basically. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, you know, kind of deal. But in between, you have to surmount a number of obstacles, like asteroids and your raft getting struck by something and space pirates, you know, stuff like that.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So that's Star Raft.
Star Raft.
So, yeah, I think we need to pitch this to, I want to say Blizzard probably would be the best studio for this one.
I mean, I don't know if anyone else could make it. I mean, they could. I mean, there's no proprietary Blizzard stuff in this, technically, no. Even if the title is very similar.
No. What? I imagine Star Raft, for some reason, I imagine you, the player character, looks like a Hydralisk, though, for some reason. You know,
yeah.
From StarCraft. But we'd probably have to call him something different. Like a one letter removed version of the Hydralisk.
Raftalisk. It's a Raftalisk.
Okay, that's him then. He's like blue.
He is the raft.
Wait a minute.
No, we just changed it. He's the raft. He's a biological raft.
I'm so confused now.
He's like a
queen. I thought we were done with this and we just jumped back in. Okay, hold on. So he is the raft.
Yes.
So
he's the star raft.
Is he inflated then? Like, is he inflatable?
You have to make stops at planets to gather air to keep yourself inflated.
Okay, and then the children are like within him.
Yes.
Or her, or whatever.
Yes, when you lose air, they slowly die, and you have to reach the end keeping a certain number alive.
Oh, I can imagine he has a couple like antennae and like arms that he could use to like slice at things while he's drifting through space. You know, like if an asteroid's coming and you can't get out of the way, you could like chop it up with your long arms.
And but you can like, use some of your health for propulsion.
Oh yeah, that's good. Like it's like a
You can't use too much of it. But
no, because then you'll
for emergencies.
Yeah, but I imagine he has like long spidery arms that are like coming out of the end of the raft, like a praying mantis. You know.
Yes, he can grab stuff and he can knock stuff away.
You can get like upgrades to your arms.
Yes,
like, you can get some arms that can like do like sewing to sew up those leaks in your raft.
Yeah, you can make like spider webs and stuff to catch.
Oh, to trap traps and stuff. Yeah. And then you can have an upgrade where one of your arms becomes like a blowtorch that you could like you can craft things with.
You can use your health to blow fire.
Yes, exactly. See? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's out of your mouth that's just like on the front of the raft. And you're just like ah. But like you lose some air because you're using some of that air to like create the fire.
You have to stop at a planet soon to restock.
You're kind of like a big dragon that's in the shape of a raft.
Really. That is really funny looking.
Basically, that's what you are. You're a big dragon raft with your young in your, like, raft belly.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah, okay. I like this game a lot.
We beat that question.
That was good. All right. Do you have another one ready to go down the pipe? Sorry, I'm just thinking of Star Raft more.
How about if every country's statues came to life and had a battle royale, which country would win?
This is a really weird question.
Well, it's a little more serious, I guess.
I think the country with the most statues would just win.
But there are some countries with really big statues, like Egypt.
Do they have big statues?
I mean, the Sphinx is a pretty big statue.
But they don't have many of them because they're like, a lot of them are destroyed at this point.
That's true. They would be like missing a face and arms.
I mean, we have a lot of statues here in the United States.
Yeah, we really do, especially in D.C.
Yeah, there's a lot of statues.
Yeah, we have giant Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a very powerful statue.
Yeah, he would mess stuff up. I feel like Egypt would do well, but they're not going to do as well as us because we just have so many more statues than they do at this point. Maybe back in ancient Egyptian times, they had a lot, and they would probably definitely win. But yeah, now a lot of those are deteriorated; they're gone.
Oh, what about Easter Island? All those big heads.
Oh yeah, there's hundreds of those things.
Yeah,
that'd be a creepy army to go up against, don't you think?
I would really like to see this battle royale.
They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a rumor that they have bodies under their heads or something like that?
That is really terrifying to think about.
I don't remember if that was true. It might have been just a rumor.
If they do, that's insane.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna Google it real quick.
That's a good idea. But yeah, wouldn't this be a good movie though? All the statues come to life and fight each other.
Yeah, I would watch it.
Yeah, so would I. It's like Pacific Rim, except historical.
Apparently, they do have bodies, but they're not complicated bodies. They're just they're just longer than they look. Because they're buried.
That's still, those heads are giant, and the fact that they're even bigger underneath the earth and how they got buried and all that is. That's
so
insane.
They would cause some damage, too.
Yeah. Sure. They're like the underdog, because Easter Island is so small.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of statues. Yeah.
Yeah. Some European countries have a lot of statues, too. But again, they're more artistic. You know, they're not going to do as much damage.
Yeah, the Greeks have just a bunch of man-sized statues.
Yeah,
Italy
has a
bunch
of them, too.
Yeah.
They have a lot of them, too, but, they're artistic. Are they going to really win?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. Statue
they don't
David
have giant Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Statue of David isn't going to do much damage.
Stonehenge? Those are big statues.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking, when you said statues, I was people statues, though. You know?
Yeah, not faces carved into a mountain.
Stonehenge is just a big rock, you know? It's just a bunch of rocks. Yeah, so I don't know. I think we'd win. Maybe Egypt would have a good chance, and then Easter Island would be a good one, too.
Yes. If you disagree with us, send us an email.
Yeah,
Someone lives in a different part of the world that
we should
don't
do
realize.
Our blurb right now. That's a good part of the show.
Is this a good time for a blurb?
Yeah, you do it. Do it right now.
Anyway, you guys have been watching. We see the numbers, and
you should send us
an email. We see it.
We see you there watching the show, or listening. We always get that wrong. Listening to the show.
Listening. Yeah, you should send an email.
Yes, send an email now, right now.
To contact@timebatshow.com.
contact@timebatshow.com.
Yeah.
That's also our website, timebatshow.com. Or you could tweet at us at
timebatshow.
Yes, that's our Twitter. And it's all one simple phrase, so you can remember it, and you can lock it in. And send us your comments. Even send us your questions.
Yeah.
Send us what's, my deepest, darkest secret. Ask me that, and I'll tell you. Yeah. But only if you ask. And then, you don't have to do that, but I'm going to. So. Are you putting yourself up for that too? No.
I'll probably pick something funny.
Okay. So you're gonna lie about your deepest, darkest secrets. Great. Thanks.
I don't know. I'll tell something really funny.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you could do that right now, but that's fine. all right. What can you not believe is still legal in the world today? Do you have any ideas? This is too political. I've just decided to skip it.
No, it's hard. It's hard to think about.
It's too political. I'm
no, it's not. We can do it.
Well, I just read the Reddit comments. I was like, nope. It's too political.
Don't. Why did you read the Reddit comments?
I'm an idiot.
That'll destroy anything.
Yeah.
How about
people?
Yeah. Why are those still legal?
I did it. That's it. People.
How about
cars, technology, cups?
Cups are fine. I like cups.
Cell phones.
Cell phones are
good. Marmalade.
Marmalade is all right.
Bats.
Too. Yeah, bats are pretty. I don't know. They eat mosquitoes. It's good.
Eyes. Ugly people.
I don't think we're going to find anything that.
Eggs. The internet. California.
Yeah, California. What's up with that?
I think we have our answer.
Yep, that's it.
California. Okay. I have a good segue, actually, now that I just said the internet, so this is an interesting segue question for you. What would happen to the world if the internet just stopped working?
Total cataclysm.
Total chaos? You think the world would just, like...
Yeah, no, that's the end. Explode? Yeah, we're too dependent on the internet.
We're too interconnected. Yeah. Not only that, I feel like a lot of technology is, for some stupid reason, like, dependent on the internet completely working.
Most of it is.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if no one got the memo of, like, hey, remember interdependency? That's usually a bad idea or whatever, but they apparently didn't.
The internet is actually not an optimal system of devices.
No, I mean, it's very ad hoc. Yeah.
Yeah, if you learn about what makes the internet, it's a very... very sobering and horrifying thing to learn about.
We just kind of put it together because we needed it to grow. But, like, yeah. I just don't understand how many devices are so reliant on the internet. Once the internet goes out, it's like, well, you're screwed now.
Yeah, there's a word for it that people throw around a lot these days. It's the internet of things. Like, literally everything depends on the internet. Your thermostat, your dishwasher.
Yeah.
Hair dryers.
And if it goes out, you're just phones, done. Like, it just cars. Doesn't work.
Yeah. Global economic systems.
Yeah, like the stock market. Like, I remember seeing something that's like some traffic lights were like wired to the internet. It's like, what are you doing?
Why are you doing that?
Like, I just don't get it. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, so like, yeah, I think you're right. I think everything would just fall apart.
I read a super cool story that kind of concerns this recently. There's a company called Cloudflare that does a lot of cool tech articles sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they published this article about this neat DDoS attack that someone did recently. They pretty much hacked into like 100,000 different disposable cameras.
What?
And used that to take down a website. Because they were all connected to the internet. They're like old, they're like really crappy cameras, but they connect to the internet for some reason.
Disposable cameras connect to the internet?
I don't know if they were disposable, but they were just those like cheap cameras that you would get at Walgreens. Or right. They weren't American cameras, but...
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Somebody hacked into thousands of cameras and seriously...
And used those to...
To DOS attack someone. Like, that's crazy. Like, what if you... hacked into all the dishwashers. Like, what if all of the dishwashers had an exploit?
And the funny thing about that is, like, those, like, little things that don't mean a lot, like cameras or dishwasher or whatever.
They add up.
And they don't have, like, any security because they figure, like, who the hell is going to hack into this? No one cares about this. So they put, like, no security on it. And then someone can do it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's wild.
That is wild.
That is horrifying.
I don't know how you, like, hack into that, though. I guess you can if it's connected to the internet.
I mean, it's a lot easier than doing desktop computers, I guess.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's the new way to take down your website. Like,
just get all the washers and dryers in Scandinavia or something.
I got all the thermostats in the country of Chile to come together.
To bring down... a bank. Like,
And then we're going to have this problem where we have to, like... put software safety on like the stupidest stuff, like,
yeah. And how are you going to give like updates to a thermostat? You can't do it.
You can't. No one's gonna like do that. The real solution becomes like stop making everything connect to the internet is really the solution.
Or like make a separate internet that's not connected to the main one.
Yeah, we'll call it like the dumb internet where all this stuff can connect to.
Like it's fine if this one fails.
Yeah, like it doesn't do anything to anybody. Like it's where all like the dishwashers and refrigerators
and cameras.
Thermostats and cameras and all that crap can connect to.
Mm-hmm.
The stupid, dumb internet that no one cares about. I feel like a lot of like companies are making products that use the internet for absolutely no reason. Like it's just to have the internet in their thing.
Like just one really dumb feature, like oh, it counts your steps or something.
Yes, this is a good segue into another question that I have. Which is, what is the most pointless innovation or invention? which I feel like is very tied to this concept of the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pointless crap out there that exists for absolutely no reason other than, hey, we can do this now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and be a huge security liability.
Right. I saw, like, in, like, a Brookstone or something, there's, yeah, like, a grill poker that has, like, a temperature readout that, for some reason, connects to Wi-Fi, so it can tell your phone, like, when your steak is ready or something. Like, yeah, like, why is that a why does that exist?
I've seen, this is actually kind of a cool concept, though. Like a fish tank that texts your phone pH levels and temperatures and stuff.
Yeah, good.
That's actually kind of cool, but yeah, someone could hack into
but
that.
It's connected to the one, yeah.
It's connected to the
that's
internet.
That's not as pointless, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, yeah, they just keep making these things for no reason. Yeah,
the grill, though, you should just hang out next to the grill and just relax.
I think it's for like, other people. Like, you can grill and, like, it'll, like, send a text to, like, your buddy that's in the other room, like, oh, the steak's ready, or something. I don't know. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. It's solving a problem that doesn't exist, is what it is.
Yes.
It's solving a problem. I mean, it's the same thing a lot of apps do. You know, like phone apps. Like, there's so many apps that don't do anything.
I cannot stand apps.
They do so many things, and they're, like, completely pointless. And then, like, investors in Silicon Valley are like, everyone's going to use this. And they give them, like, $1 billion, and then they die. Because no one fucking cares about, you know, tracking your dog's hydration levels. Like, nobody cares about that, you know?
Yeah, it, like, every news organization has their own app. Like, you're actually going to put that on your phone instead of just going to a news aggregate like Google News or something.
I know, right?
Yeah. Like, if you want to read the news, you have to have, like, 50 apps on your phone.
Yeah, the best is when you go to the site on your phone and it's like, sorry,
there's a half-page advertisement
that you have this app. And you're like, oh, my God, kill me now.
Yeah, that just hurts me when I go to a website and there's like a quarter of the page is, hey, you want to try our app?
Which is hilarious to me because the whole point of the internet to begin with was to give everyone access to the same data, like, unequivocally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like, it was, I'm trying to think of the word, but it was just basically leveling the playing field. Everyone got access to the same data on the internet at all times, and we didn't play any favorites. But this is like compartmentalizing all of that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Instead of being like, oh, I want to see this story on the New York Times or whatever. Instead, it's like, oh, you have to download this specific app to have access to it, which is doing the exact opposite of what the internet started to do, you know? Like, you have to have specific things.
And it's pointless. Like, it's not like you get extra features
with
an app. You can make the same features using HTML5 as you can with any app.
I think they do it because they can probably advertise better or something.
Yeah.
I don't really know those.
They can collect, you know, they can collect data and advertise to you.
That's true.
And do targeted advertising and stuff.
Targeted ads. Oh, targeted ads.
It's really annoying.
Thing.
It's like, hey, were you looking at cast iron skillets recently?
Well, guess what?
Here's now you're going to see them everywhere you go online.
Buy this internet-integrated cast iron skillet.
It
tells
sends
you
a text.
It sends you a text when it needs to be cleaned.
You should never clean a cast iron skillet.
And it also... No, I know. And it also downloads the latest recipes from food.com.
From Paula Deen. She's my favorite.
You can configure what website it goes to. To download the recipes, and then it just, like, it has a microphone on the side, and it just yells them at you. Like, when you bring it out, it's like, I have a new recipe from Paula Deen, and it says it in, like, the voice of Paula Deen, and then it, like, just yells the ingredients at you. And then you're like, and as a zombie, you just do it. You're just like, this is the Internet of Things. This is
I really
future.
Like that it says it in her voice, though. Like, you have a new recipe from Paula Deen.
Like, she recorded it. And she was like, Paul, we need you to come down to the studio and record you saying your name. She's like, why? And she's like, well, we're putting an app in this cast iron skillet, and it's letting people have your recipes, and we need you to say your name so that they know it's you. And she's like, all right. And then she records the cast. They do that with all the celebrities. Like, they have Emerald and all that stuff, too.
And,
they have,
it just sounds like your GPS. Like, you have a new episode from I Can't Do an Emerald Lagasse, but
Emerald's like, boom, Emerald.
Boom, you got... That's his alert. You have to pay $5.99 for it.
I feel like every podcast we do, we get to like this dystopian like advertising future that
dystopian
we are,
food reality
that
television
we are like
advertising.
We're coming to this point in America and in the world where everything is just going to be crazy like advertising.
Yeah,
scary.
I mean, we're laughing, but it's actually really
it's
scary.
Oh, Alton Brown could have one too.
See, the scariest thing is I would actually buy a lot of these, like especially the Paula Deen one.
When she like yells the recipe at
you.
Yeah,
just to hear my frying pan yell like Paula Deen would be.
And then put the butter in the skillet, y'all, or whatever.
Yeah.
You need these things first before you start. 12 ounces of butter.
12 ounces of cream.
12 ounces of more butter, but different butters. Yeah, that's what I, yeah, that's, so that's the skillet. But, what were we talking about?
I
completely
forgot. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, like, targeted advertising and stuff.
Oh, yeah. What was the original question, though? Like, where did this come from?
Pointless inventions.
Okay, yeah, that's, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, which is definitely a pointless invention, right?
Okay.
Something yelling at you. Paula Deen, in Paula Deen's voice, which I would totally buy. Probably just to have the, I would be able to show people it. Like, I wouldn't use it. I would just.
That's one of those, do you remember those old gimmick gifts where it's the bass singing?
Yes, it's just like it's the
it's
same
just
thing.
Like that, except it's connected to the internet and has an app.
Wait a minute, why hasn't this been a thing? Right? The singing bass was huge in the 90s. Why isn't there, like, a singing bass 2.0 that's, like, connects to the internet and downloads its own singing bass song.
It says your text to you in various humorous voices.
Yeah, also that. It's like the Amazon Alexa, but like as a singing bass.
Yes.
Right? It's like the Echo or whatever, you know, the Amazon Echo. Or like Google Siri or whatever. But it's as a singing bass.
I think this might be a huge breakthrough.
But then it also sings. Like, that's also a
Yeah, it needs to do all the classic bass songs.
It's
got
to do all the classic singing bass, like Take Me to the River and all those stuff. But then
but
also...
Also an Internet of Things device that
will that, like,
you recipes,
a voice, it's
texts.
A voice recognition thing. It's like, hey, singing bass, what's the weather like today? And then it, like, sings the weather.
It comes to life. And it sings you the weather.
It sings it. It always sings, though. That's, like, the rule of the singing bass. Yeah, like, what's the weather like, singing bath? And it's like, well, it's cloudy out today, and it's high of 83. And then it always tries to rhyme, too.
Yeah.
Because it's on the internet, it can go to a rhyming database and try to figure it out, you know. But if it can't rhyme, it just, like...
That is such a cool product idea.
Yeah,
is, I would buy that.
The singing bass 2.0.
I would buy one for everyone. My whole family would get one for
Christmas.
It would
be really expensive, though, because, like, it's got all the voice recognition stuff. So it'd be, like, as expensive as, like, an Amazon Echo, which is, like, $200. But, like, probably a little more because it's a novelty thing, too. So it'd be, like, $220 or something.
That's fine. I'd still buy one.
Yeah, I mean, it would sing. It would do all the classic bass.
And be a bass.
Would it be like mounted like the old
yeah,
one?
Yeah, just you know, it would
it's
be
like
just
on your mantle.
Like that old one.
It's like on your mantle.
It would do the little flop dance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every time it speaks it would flop.
Yes. And it that makes that weird mechanical sound that
Yes, like the old Chuck E. Cheese like robots or whatever. And like it doesn't need to do that in this day and age because the technology is advanced, but it like does it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I feel like your friends would come over to your like house or whatever and be like, oh, you have one of those really old singing bass, and they're like, wait, let me
wait
show
you.
Wait till you see this. And then I wonder if they can find the same voice actor for that. I'm sure they can figure something out.
I mean, this is really something I would buy, though. Like, I would really buy that.
I know you would. You're very excited about the Singing Bass
2.0. I'm excited.
Singing Bass 2.0. That's what we're agreeing is like the name.
Yeah, you definitely need... it's the iBass 2.0.
Oh my god.
That's what it is.
Do you remember a few years ago when they just put I in front of everything?
Yeah.
Like, they still do that, as not as much, but yeah. It's one of those kind of, like, it's just eye baths.
Yeah, I don't know if Apple stopped people from doing that yet.
I think they did, but yeah.
It would be worth paying.
The eye baths.
To name it that.
It would look the same, though, right?
Yeah, exactly the same.
Would it have, like, the same, like, really bad, like, painting
you could,
finish kind of?
Yeah, and you could buy accessories for it, like Christmas hats. And
oh,
maybe like a,
wow.
Like a, yeah, because they had that with the old baths. They
yeah.
had, like, Christmas hat versions.
I didn't realize they had an accessory.
It wasn't accessories. They were different devices altogether, and they sang, like, different songs.
So this one you could, like, add on to the bath.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. You can get, like, Christmas hat and, like,
Halloween lantern
mask or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, or jack-o'-lantern.
This is a multi-million-dollar industry right here.
Yeah,
this
it really is.
This is an untapped market. This combines, like, information, like, you know, like high-end information devices, like
with nostalgia
and comedy. Like, yes. it brings, like, three different consumer groups together.
Yeah. You know? I feel like there's an irony element too that people really like these days.
Oh yeah, it would be huge with hipsters. Yes.
Yeah.
It would be huge with hipsters because they'd be like really, oh, yeah. I have the singing bass. You know.
Like, I could have bought a device that works a lot better and does all the same things.
I could
have bought
a new phone or a new laptop, but I bought the singing bass.
I bought a bass version.
It's like, and it's not really that good. Like, it doesn't work very well. Like, it's pretty good, but it's like, it's not that good, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, people own it because it's the singing bass. It's the eye bass.
Yeah, it's iconic.
I feel like this is an untapped market, though. Like, technology and humor.
I mean, there is a huge market for, like, nostalgia things making appearances as modern things.
Yeah, and just combine that with the tech desires of the future, and there you go. You got the singing. You got the iBass.
That's iBass 2.0. That's the name of this episode, by the way.
Okay. You're just telling me now, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like we have a lot of whatever. It's fine. All right, let's move away from the iBass. How much time do we have left? 10 minutes or so.
Okay, 10 minutes.
Yeah. What do you? I have a lot of questions left. Do you want to get
fine.
To the big ones? Like, why don't you ask and I'll look if I can.
I don't have any really great ones left. If you have a good one, I have one that'll go quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Alex Trebek will be retiring in the next couple years. Who should be the next host of Jeopardy?
Oh, that's really hard.
Yeah. Does anyone come to mind off the top of your head?
No, but I feel like someone should.
Yeah, the problem with this question is everyone I can think of would never accept this job.
What like, do you mean?
Like someone...
Like a smart
maybe,
person? Well, they have to be smart, right? That's like that's kind of part of the thing. Do you watch Jeopardy consistently?
Not consistently.
I used to watch it like every day, but anyway, so like I know a good amount about Jeopardy, but like I would call myself a fan. But the thing is, like, they would have to be like smart, you know, like an intellectual kind of person.
Yeah.
They can't just be like some random actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They would also have to have been around the block in pop culture and history and
yeah. Well, I mean, Alex Trebek wasn't super famous before Jeopardy, but yeah, I don't know. That's also hard because the person that gets this thing
can't
they basically
do anything else.
That's their life.
Yeah.
You know, they are the Jeopardy person for the rest of their life, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And an actor isn't gonna.
An actor would never do that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think an actor would do that.
No.
Maybe like a famous person. Maybe like a famous actor that's like not really doing a lot anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like they did their big theatrical works in life, and now they just want to.
Right, and they would just want to ride the wave, kind of the thing at the end. Everyone I'm thinking of is already really old, and it wouldn't work because...
I don't know. I'm thinking of Clint Eastwood for some
reason.
He's
old. He's super old, too, though. That's the problem.
I know,
Alex Trebek is retiring because he's, like, in his 60s or maybe 70s. I don't know how old Alex Trebek is.
I'm thinking of Forrest Whitaker for some reason. He would be really funny.
Why are you thinking of Forrest Whitaker?
He'd be funny in Jeopardy. He has that really mean look on his face, yeah, and he could just stare people down.
True. I don't know why I thought of F. Murray Abraham would be good at Jeopardy, but he's really old too, so that doesn't work either. I really don't have anybody. Maybe a retired comedian, like, that's known to be, like, intellectual. Lewis Black would be.
That's a good one.
Jeopardy host. I'm kidding. That's not good. Well, maybe it is good, right?
How about a Penn and Teller?
Yes, I would watch that.
Watch that, yeah.
I don't think they would do it, but I would.
Yeah, they kind of have their own art
Maybe
form.
Just Teller, though. He just, like, mimes.
He can't talk.
He mimes the questions.
They only work as a duo.
No, it's just Teller. Penn is not in it. Penn does the announcements every episode, like, in the beginning. Like, welcome to Jeopardy! Like, Penn does that. And then Teller's the host. And he just
mimes,
like,
all the questions.
He points at the questions, you know? Mm-hmm. And he'll, like, do a mime if necessary. And then, like, when someone fails or succeeds, he'll, like, nod or shake his head.
Yeah, or, like, smack his head and be like... Right. Look exasperated.
Or have, like, a pad that he'll write on to, like, show people, like, no, that was wrong. Like, this is the right answer or whatever. You know?
I like Penn and Teller as an answer.
Teller's Jeopardy. Yeah. I don't think Penn would do it, but Teller might do it. He could do magic before every episode.
Yeah.
Like, he'd open with magic act.
Just a quick little 20-second...
A quick 20-second, you know, like, ball and cup kind of deal.
Welcome to Jeopardy,
yeah. Like, that's the intro. Like, the camera pans... You know how it, like, pans down to the contestants and the lights go up? As it's doing that, Teller's doing, like, a quick magic trick.
Yeah.
And then he goes to greet the contestants, just like Alex Trebek. But then every time he, like, shakes their hand, he's doing, like, a trick, too. Like, he pulls, like, a coin out of their ear.
Out of their ear.
Or, like... Like a dove flies out of, like, a dude's, like, vest pocket or something, you know?
He takes an empty cup of water and just, like, spills fluid all over somebody.
Exactly, yeah. And then they're like, wow! And then the rest is regular Jeopardy with a person that doesn't talk.
I like it. Penn and Teller, that's who should take
Penn
over.
Penn and Teller's Jeopardy. But Penn is only in it, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
He just jumps in when necessary. It would have to be in Las Vegas, so they could still do their, like, Vegas show.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's the best answer there. One more.
One
more question. Okay, I have to pick a really good one. This one can't be long. Okay.
Okay.
But it's probably you're probably gonna try to make it long. Okay. I always do space, like, tech questions, but whatever. 100 years in the future, humanity leaves for another planet, okay? We leave behind a single stone monument explaining why we left and who we are. What does it say? And I'm going to say that you can only use, like, one sentence. You have to sum up the whole thing in one sentence. Can you do it? I got one if you can't.
What's yours?
Mine says it's a picture of, like, the classic, like, dad and his son, like, holding hands kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, dad's, like, reaching down and the son's, like, reaching up and holding his hand and they're, like, looking at each other. You know, it's, like, kind of like that park sculpture, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's that. And then the caption on the bottom, it says, "We fucked up." And that's
that's a good one.
And that's the statue.
I really like the juxtaposition of the happy father and the son. Right. And it just says...
That's it. And that's the whole statue. I think aliens would figure that out.
I was just going to say maybe just like a giant phallus.
Oh, that would work too. I mean, that explains a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think that encapsulates humanity.
If you boil humanity down into one symbol...
It's the big phallus.
It's that one. It's not just a phallus. It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's the big one. It would be... We don't need to describe this sculpture.
No.
I think everyone knows what we're...
Yeah, everybody has their own mental picture.
It would be a monument. Like, it's a monument. Like, it's monumental. It's a monument.
It is so big that it affects Earth's gravity, and Earth falls out of orbit. No, sorry. That's...
And that's why we left. Because we erected.
It was too big.
Because we erected this giant monument.
A fitting way to go.
We erected.
Okay.
We erected a monument.
Were you going to do one more?
No, that was all I had.
Big giant phallus, and that's how we end it.
See, we should just cut it there. Big giant phallus, and then the episode just cuts off.
Thank you for listening. Remember to go to timebatshow.com
and contact us at contact@timebatshow and tweet us at timebatshow. I'm Time Aces.
I'm Batsnacks.
Thank you for listening. Good night, everyone.
Big giant phallus.